Bonjour and welcome to Le Bon, La Brute et le Rugby. It's time for France 2023. 7 weeks of great sport, great food and delicious wine. All in the company of the three musketeers. Monsieur James Haskell, Michel Tindall and Alexandre Le Payne. Have fun, but not as much fun as you did in New Zealand 2011, but fun nonetheless. Bon voyage.
Hello, Dream Team, and a very warm welcome to this week's episode of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby in partnership with our good friends at Continental Tires. I hope you're keeping well. The Rugby World Cup is raging. You know that by now. And what a tournament we have got in France. The great and the good are jetting in. We've got Beckham and Mbappe, Gerard Butler, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry, all in amongst the prawn sandwiches. We've had the Prince and Princess of Wales, the Princess Royal. Our guest this week, though, is just biding his time for the quarterfinals. That is the kind of gambler that he is. And in a week in which Ireland delivered arguably the biggest statement of the tournament so far, we have a man with us who cheered as loudly as anyone. The man who will surely play Johnny Sexton in the Hollywood epic if Ireland go all the way.
You've got to have skill.
Do you think? He's got to go better than Matt Damon in Invictus.
That's all you've got to do is just lean on him that he's got no skill and he'll come out fighting.
Jamie Dornan.
Hello.
Jamie Dornan, how are you?
Good, yes. Thank you for having me on. Great.
Very nice to have you with us. Where were you watching on Saturday night? How loudly did you cheer? What did it mean to you?
I cried three times.
Really?
Probably tells you quite a lot about my emotional state that I was in watching it.
What the hell were you drinking?
I was so nervous. Honestly, I was terrified. I was just... couldn't sit down. I can rarely sit down when I'm watching Ireland play, but we had some family over and they came over and I just said, like, listen, I can't. I will be there in the beginnings and the greetings, and then I said, look, from 7:30 onward, I needed half an hour build up. I need to be alone
in the zone.
And luckily we have a couple of different rooms of TVs.
In the West Wing. Yeah.
So I was like, look, I'm going to go down to this room. And watch a rugby, tried to entice, one of our kids was asleep over. I tried to entice our 7-year-old to come down, so I'm trying to make sure that they are Ireland rugby fans, even though they're like posh English kids. Cried during both anthems. And I was like, I need to get a grip on here. Like, we haven't started.
Are you full kit at this point?
No, I'm not.
I bet you were full kit. Imagine that. That's why I said the West Wing. Full stash.
Yeah. I was wearing a little touch of green. I thought that's important to do. No, I don't know. These games, they build up so much in your mind about, it's a group game, but like the importance wasn't lost on anyone, and we hadn't been tested yet. We haven't been tested for 16 games, but you felt the importance of that match, and so I watched it pretty much by myself. Now and again, if I was screaming so loudly, someone would come honestly to make sure if I was okay. So I had a few visitors came down, refilled my wine glass a couple of times to bring it back up, and it was just an unbelievable test match. I always say the second test in Lions 2009 tour South Africa was the best game of rugby I've ever seen, and I honestly thought that ran it close. It was just an incredible game of rugby, and to come out on top is massive.
I've never cared for anything in life as much as he cares about Ireland playing. I've never met anyone like, I'm not even sure I like my kid as much as you like that game.
It's so funny though. I think if you look at all sort of actors who watch sport, they are so driven by emotion that they get. Oh. I mean, let's just talk about that. The atmosphere in that stadium on set was unbelievable.
You could
just see, the Irish fan is like water. It will get fucking anywhere. Yeah. It can find a ticket. It can find everything.
It's an entity.
It was literally a stadium of green. Yeah. And then even at the end, with Zombie at the end, and the physicality, we talk about everything that goes on in the sport at the moment, but why did everyone love that? It was just two titans going toe to toe, physically. It's a full reason why it's called a test match. But I say everything, it gets really emotional because actors get into why this backstories of every player and how they've got their families. They're wearing a family on their sleeves. Literally.
Can't you act more like a man and stop fucking crying in rugby? I'd be like, can we go to the sit? I'd be like, James crying again. This is awful. Mate, stop crying.
Listen, the players who during the anthems are crying. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence Lally used to cry during the evening anthem, but only when he saw the red light come on the camera. It was like Pavlov. It's like Pavlov's dog. As soon as he looks at it, straight away.
Good for the show.
You
really.
Know what, though? I just say, I know I have fallen back in love with rugby after that game. I could watch that kind of rugby every week. It was powerful. It was strong.
You should just support Ireland.
I think I am.
Mm. We're playing that level all the time.
Okay. Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, you can go on a transfer. I think most England fans would be happy to say, Ireland is all yours.
I have to say, like, even my... So, my wife wouldn't be a big rugby fan, and I've tried for years to get her into it, and I brought her to Twickenham when we won one of our many Grand Slams in 2018.
Wow, it's amazing what one win does in a big stage, isn't it?
No, hold on. I'm talking about another of the bag
it's
of five.
It's amazing
five
when Ireland
in
are doing well and England doing shit. That's the only time I'll just get one.
That's rugby these days.
But I'll get one WhatsApp game. So how's England doing?
Yeah, and there's 50 on red.
How good's Eddie?
There's 50 from Mike. How are you, mate? How's he? How's the family? Yeah. Where are you?
Where are you catching
nothing?
Up?
Unlucky.
Why are you ignoring me?
So I brought her to Twickenham 2018. If anyone was there, do you remember? It was the coldest.
The last England game.
Yeah. It was the coldest day I've ever been outside. It was dramatically cold. And my wife just turned to me and was like, please don't make me do this again. Like, I can't do it. And I said, and we'd won the Grand Slam. And so she's just been to rugby. But actually, she watched the second half with me and actually went, I've got to admit, that was really exciting. So I think...
You played that well, didn't you? You Googled, what is the coldest day ever? Tell the wife. Yeah. She's like, look, just go with your mates.
No, I just wanted to be there.
I want you to come.
Please,
okay,
never
go
do
with
this
my
again.
Mates.
I wanted to be there. I've been there for all the Grand Slams. 2009, Cardiff, 2018. And then, of course, if we want to talk about the most recent Grand Slam in Dublin.
I didn't get anything out of me for 40 minutes. Yeah. I sat next to Jimmy Nesbitt, and Jimmy Nesbitt didn't speak for 40 minutes. I got some good pictures of him going, oh my God, we're going to lose.
Unreal. Can I ask you, because it is very interesting, I mean, obviously the team is sensational, and you've mentioned 16 on the bats already, but it's very interesting watching the psychology of Ireland fans. And we had Rory Best on our breakdown this week on our React show, and he was saying, watching, he was terribly nervous, really didn't quite know where to place himself. This is quite an interesting window into the psyche of Irish sports fans, because you think of Jack Charlton in 94 and the sort of the wave of green and the euphoria of being an underdog, but you are now the number one team in the world.
Yeah.
You are expected to go deep into the tournament. People are talking about you winning, and yet you've never been through a quarter final. You've now overcome the biggest test in your group, which is South Africa. It sort of feels a little bit like the Irish nation doesn't quite know whether they're coming or going at the moment.
I think what's happened is there's always been just the underdog forever. You know, even going into the last World Cup, we were one, shifted to two the couple of days before the World Cup. But I think we knew, if we were honest with ourselves, that we weren't the best team in the world going into the last World Cup. And I think, you know, hats off to Andy Farrell. He seems to have made us, you know, but us as a nation and us as a country, but certainly the team, believe that they're worthy of that position. He's added this sort of grit. And, you know, Joe Schmidt got them playing sort of sexy rugby, essentially, and having a bit of confidence to throw it around. And Andy Farrell has just inserted this sort of resilience and belief. And, you know, he's hard as fuck, Andy Farrell, I believe. And he's offered that to the lads, and they seem to have taken that on. And there just feels different. It just feels different.
Haskell always describes Andy Farrell as the alpha male, and he passes that on.
Yeah,
to
Farrell's like is the ultimate alpha male, like, you know.
Yeah,
and it's like it almost looking out in the jungle. If there's another alpha,
he
would just come and alpha the alpha. Do you know what I mean?
There
all the
you
time.
Go. You but I think
if,
I don't think
if
they're
he was
nervous.
At Jamie's
night.
House on shut up, Jamie.
Shut up, Jamie. You're fucking
What's wrong
crying,
with you?
Mate. Fucking toughen up, you prick. Stop drinking rosé. That's the first fucking mistake, mate.
But there's a belief.
We always stick in a continental showstopper of the week. So pick us the moment of the match from your perspective. The moment when you thought, hang on, this is really where it needs
Kelleher, Kelleher finally found his man with the fourth line out of the night.
We tend to give a little bit more glory than a guy who's hit the north from six. No, but I like what you've done there.
I think moment of the match, holding up your big man.
Ebonet.
Fuck me. What a moment. And
James Lowe just smashing.
Just doing that with sheer strength, legally, and just like taking a man like that and making him look that size. Yeah. And that turnover is huge.
Yeah, it was a hell of a moment. James Lowe on Eben Etzebeth. That is our continental showstopper moment of the week. Well done to the boys in green. I want to come back to how far you now think Ireland will go, unless you want to answer it in one word. But before we come on to your love of rugby, it's worth mentioning you played to a handy level as well. Were you Ulster Academy? Ulster under 21s?
It was a wee bit different then. This is 20, odd years ago. I had an Ulster under 21 trial, and I sat on the bench for Ulster under 21s in one game.
It was representing. So normally at this point, Hass could have told you, "Shut up, mate. Get
like,
on,
come on, mate. Move on. We've all had trials. Give it a rest, bro."
No, it's on the bench. It's on the bench.
Did you get the stash? Did you get a bag?
And I did get the stash. Back when it was those Canterbury tops that were kind of like shell suit material, the two tone.
Have you still got it now? Do you wear it every now?
You know what?
Whatever he says, it's in his bathroom.
No, it's framed. I wish to God I still had that. I don't. And I lost it on like a trip. I had it away on like some, I think weirdly a ski trip. I had it with me and it didn't come back with me. And I'm pretty gutted because it was kind of like, for some people who don't believe me, it was like the only thing I had.
Yeah.
But it was a strange year because I only played one good year of rugby. I wasn't even that good at school. And then I left school and I had one good year of like club rugby back in Belfast.
What position were you?
I was fly half most of the way through school and then obviously on the wing. And then I was pretty rapid.
You don't do fly
knows
half of the most
listen,
of the wing.
I remember Draco giving me a hard time about this. Because I remember thinking, because then once I moved on the wing, I played much better rugby. Yeah. And then I was like, saw it as like a progression.
Progression. Basically, couldn't pass, couldn't offload, couldn't control anything, but really quick. Just get out there, will you, mate?
It looked good.
Yeah.
Then
when I moved to London, I was still played a bit of rugby. I went back to 10 for a bit, I have to say. I did enjoy that. But no, I played best rugby in the wing. Got this Ulster 21 trial. Didn't even go that well. And then I got called up and I sat on the bench. It was a weird season because there was only five or six fixtures and it was ravaged.
It was foot and mouth.
The whole season they only played two games because of foot and mouth.
When you played it, like you had foot and mouth.
Harsh.
I think if foot and mouth hadn't come, I could have been playing for Ireland. I could have gone the whole distance.
I could have been playing this thing.
I've never heard that. I've heard a lot of people tell me I could have made it if it wasn't for a knee injury, but I've never heard anyone, if it wasn't for foot and mouth, I'd be playing for Ireland now. Would you rather have been the success you've had as an actor, or played for Ireland?
He was married to Elizabeth Taylor. Richard Burton said he'd have swapped playing Hamlet for one cap for Wales.
No, okay, 50 caps or your career in Hollywood. I mean, obviously the cash is going to be nowhere near. Well,
that's,
rugby,
I
so.
Mean, that is the family to support here. Can you imagine running out for your country? Yes, you lads can. I would have loved that. No, but I can't sit here being as lucky as I am in my chosen career and pretend I would have rather played rugby. But there's definitely a part of me that would have loved to have felt what that feels like to represent, you know, walk out in Lancer. Yeah. Unbelievable. But no, I'm happy with my lot.
You wouldn't have after 50 caps, you wouldn't be as good looking as you are now, I'll tell you that, mate.
I do love the fact you've got a good story about, you know, your initiations and obviously...
Oh, God.
Obviously, being an actor, I can't imagine what it'd be like to where you've got to go in and you've got to read for a part or whatever, but you've got a good story on the one that you read where you drank the whiskey.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh Jesus, that was bad. I had to, I was in LA years ago, 17 years ago probably, and I was auditioning for this. It was a musical, and I can sing a bit, but not, you know, as much as any other douchey actor guy can sing. But you had to really sing in this thing. And you had to sing something really hard. That I've been waiting for a girl like you. That is fucking high. And so I've been driving. It was 13 years ago. I was driving around LA because I was with my wife, then girlfriend. And I kept trying to practice this song. She was like, get out of the car. Anyway, the morning audition, I was like first up. I think it was like 10 a.m. And I had heard that like whiskey was good for, you know, loosening your vocal cords and for giving you a bit of, you know, confidence or whatever.
Courage.
So I had brought a bottle of like quarter bottle of Jameson with me. And I pulled up, it was like Warner Brothers lot. And like, I, you know, went through, you know, got my name tag and the car park. And I got out of the car and went, fucking, I'll do that. I'm going to do that. But I hadn't. This is well before kids or whatever, like 10 in the morning was quite early back in those days. I'd probably got up at, you know, 9:30 to get there and hadn't eaten or anything. So, you know, brushed my teeth and that was it. And the first thing that was passing my lips was whiskey. And I literally drank it and immediately puked. Immediately. Right. And I puked all over the side of the car door, like in the main Warner Brothers lot with like all these executives driving around in golf buggies and stuff. And I'm like puking all over the side of the car. And then I realized I hadn't brought like chewing gum or anything like that. So I actually just walked into this audition smelling of whiskey and puke.
Oliver Reed. Singing as well, just breathing on everyone, like big, honestly, big.
And the guys, they were kind of into me for a bit, so they kept me there for a long time. They kept making me stay and sing and go, do you mind just going one more time? I was like, I can't be in here. Like,
did you get the part off the back?
Fuck off, no. Did I get the part? No way. I never worked for them.
Imagine that, like, driving through and seeing you puke. Jamie Dornan has lost it. Hasn't even started a career. Yeah. Mate, you're honestly meant to do this after you've made all the movies and millions.
It was rough. Rough.
Tough. How is life now? What's keeping you busiest at the moment? Are you
Rugby World Cup?
It is. No. You blocked put that out.
No. I just finished the show called The Tourist. We shot the first series in Australia a couple years ago.
Second series come out.
Second series we shot in Dublin. So I was in Dublin for 4 months, and it was quite a long. There's a lot asked of me in that show. I'm sort of in everything, so it's a big effort, I guess. So I'd made a decision, like, when I finish this job, I want time off. I'd love to take the rest of the year off. And then there's just been a strike. I don't know if you're aware. There's a writer strike, which is overnight being resolved, I think, and an actor strike. So it ended up being quite enforced, the break anyway. There's stuff going on, but you could work. But to be honest, I just wanted time off, and it worked out well with, you know, Rugby World Cups, Ryder Cups, all sorts of stuff that I can watch and just be a dad. And just, I'm doing every drop off, every pick up, and I just want to be around until early next year.
Or you've said it numerous times. Yeah, I just want time off now, and then a gig will come along, and he'll go, okay, I'll work. It's because I remember name dropping now, but in Australia with I think I've said this on the pod before with Chris Hemsworth, where he was
give it a rest, hint. Rise, mate.
Jamie's exactly the same. He's like, yeah, I just want some time, and then they don't have a script that comes in for a week, and they're going, why does no one want me? He said, well, I want to be turning things down in my time off, so it's my time off.
That's what was quite good. That's what ended up being quite enforced anyway, because of the strike, so there's not that much stuff floating about, so it's worked out well. But yeah, I've already this week committing to something early next year, but it looks like I'll get the rest of the year off.
Have you ever got a script through that you read, turned down, and then it's been an absolute mega movie?
Yep.
Can you say it like,
no, I can't really.
Are you not allowed to?
No, I've got a couple of things. One was a really, got many Oscar nominations, really? Including lead actor, which I'd been offered at one point.
Ouch.
And then there was a TV show that was like the biggest hit of all time that I said no to.
Who's making your decisions?
No, listen, but like, God, Jesus, every actor in the world has those stories, the amount of people you turn down, fucking Batman or whatever, because whatever. So yeah, look, there's loads of that. Everyone's got them. But
I'd asked if you cried, but we know the answer. You definitely did.
How is life in general, though? Because you are, I mean, you're obviously highly, highly, highly A-star, high profile, etc. And yet you've popped in today on the tube, I think. Is that right?
Overground.
Stay humble, yeah?
But I love that. I mean, what is your balance of life like?
I'm the older I get, the more of a control freak I think I become, and more OCD I become. And I cannot stand being in the back of a car when I don't have any ability to move things on if we're stuck in traffic. I hate that feeling of ineptitude, that like I can't help the situation. The amount of times I'm in a car on my way somewhere, and I'll just say, you know what, can you just try to get me closer to the tube, and I'll jump the tube, because I like efficiency. I hate being late, so I want to get places on time. And sometimes just London traffic's a fucking nightmare,
yeah, it really is.
And I just can't handle it. So something like this, which is easier from where I live, it's one train and a 17-minute walk. I was like,
you can do the train, Hass. We can get that into you.
No, I'm absolutely fine.
You can become a man of the person.
I've heard about the tube. I've heard it. I've seen it on TV. I just not for me. Little aluminium can of sadness. Yeah.
But are you someone, Jamie, that you want a degree of normality in your life? I presume you do.
And I think
a
lot of that is
balance then between, holy Moses, this is out of control. It's bright lights.
I think a lot of that's like choices and mindset, and you can go like, I can do a peacocky thing and try to stand out and say yes to go to every fucking party that's available, and just make sure you're seen everywhere, or you can just be at home picking the kids up. I've got 3 kids. Like, I'm very lucky that big things happened for me once I'd already met Millie, and quite quickly got pregnant after we got married. So all my necessary being was in this thing we created in this family. So I had no interest in the whole like getting out there and being seen. And So it's of little interest to me. So I'm lucky. I think there's two types of people. If you become recognizable, you're either fucked because you don't have mates who've known you since you were a kid.
Have you got a good gang around you?
I've had the same group of mates since I was a kid, and they couldn't care less about what I do. Like, they don't see me in that way at all, and we're all into the same things. We're all mad sports heads, and they, you know, like, in a very typical Irish way, all we do is put each other down, and, you know, but we love each other deeply, and I've always had that support around me. And then you get people who don't, and then all they know is people around them going, yeah, you're brilliant, yeah, you're class at this, oh yes, you should do that, yes, oh, that's a great idea, instead of someone going, catch yourself, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know, and I've always had that, thankfully.
It's funny, isn't it? Because obviously a lot of people will know you for 50 Shades, but that's the bit you hate. Well, you didn't hate it, but that's the one you're more proud of, the things like The Fall and things like that, aren't you, than you are of Shades.
But
you never know how it's going to go, do you?
Well, something like that, I probably did know a wee bit how it was going to go because the books were so terrible.
Did you feel yourself signing a bit of a contract taking that?
Yeah, a wee bit, because there was very much a very strong reaction to the books in terms of fandom obsession, but critically not so great, let's say.
Yeah, critically panned, but fans absolutely loved it.
Yeah, so then you're making movies to satisfy the hundreds of millions of fans, but there's hundreds of millions of fans and you want to make them happy, so you're loyal to the books.
Yeah.
But the critics didn't like the books, you know, so it's a funny place to find yourself in. But I don't have any regrets about it.
Do you prefer a box hit smash that you don't really connect to, or something like The Fall, which is a complete cult hit that you love doing?
I don't, it's all just enough, work. You move on. You honestly just do the work.
It makes me wonder whether my kids should be around you quite a lot of the time.
In The Fall?
Yeah.
Yeah, dark stuff.
I still love that check. Do you still have the check in the toilet from?
I do, from Disney.
Yeah,
which I got residual. No wonder the actors are striking about residuals. I got I was on some show that was sort of Disney based years and years and years ago, and one of my residual checks was for 1 cent.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got a frame. I got a frame. Never cashed it. From Disney. But it cost about 14 quid to send it over from LA.
Wow.
So framed. But no, they don't send checks anymore. It's all goes just straight into your account.
Can I ask about just obviously with the 50 Shades Grey thing, just interestingly, because was there one point where, because obviously you talk about being down to earth, having your friends, was there one moment where you just went, oh wow, this life has now changed, that, you know, or where your anonymity had gone? Because there's always that, you know, when you sort of go in, people are literally shouting at you across the street, or...
I think that's... It's only bad when people know where you're going to be.
Oh, fine.
So if it's like Leicester Square premiere at 6 o'clock, then it's a nightmare.
Right.
Or anything, or they know you're staying at that hotel when you're in town for that thing, and they're outside there. The rest of the time, you're bouncing around, like, you know, it's fine, you know. There's been loads of moments in my life where I've been, this is mental. Yeah. Like, this is mental. What is happening to me? And then you're cross street. I have three kids under 10. You know, there's no feeling top of the world, like, in that kind of sense of I'm important. When you're a kid, you've got a role to play of just getting down and dirty and being a dad.
We don't get many of those moments, but we did have one of those moments actually in Monaco last week. Should we very quickly do our tall tales brought to you by City Index, the global provider of spread betting and CFD trading? Do you want to explain how you got us out of a pickle in Monte Carlo last Monday? Well, it was good insight into the life of the Tinder Laser, wasn't it?
Well, no, I am very fortunate to go to the F1 all the time, and I know that Blade run a very good helicopter service between Monaco and Nice, and it's actually it's not actually that expensive. No.
Reasonable.
Very reasonable.
We couldn't get a cab, basically. We were stuck there. We decided to save some food.
The earliest cab we could get was 8. Our flight was 9:30. We were definitely not getting out in time.
Where do you sit?
When I sit,
unfortunately, it's a big chopper.
Yeah, it's a big chopper. We don't fuck around, mate.
Big chopper. Not like for a big one, chopper.
We don't have one with Sean Connery, that little Nelly or whatever. It was a tiny one. This is a fucking prop messing around. Tinsnet messing around. We're playing it down. Yeah. This is a mega helicopter. Yeah. And we had Dara, he's talking about a head of commercial, and he convinced himself, because he'd never flown a helicopter before, that he was going to be sick or something. So there's a bit where I'm filming everyone, going, yeah, lads, on a helicopter. And he goes, right. And we're like,
we haven't even taken off.
We're like, are you right?
We barely even started the engines.
We took off, and I went, mate, are you right? And he goes, I'm not being funny, but but I had to have a rucksack. I was just going to throw up into it.
He'd open his rucksack on his lap, so he was going to barf into his rucksack.
Just spew into it and then throw it away.
Like, why are you hanging about with him?
Oh, wow. Because he gets the money in. That's what why, he otherwise, he wouldn't have him in here.
That's what he does very well. That is our tour tale of the week. Thank you to City Index, who offer our spread betting and CFD trading across thousands of markets. And we'll have lots more of that, of course, on our tour. In terms of your life now, how much do you split between wherever we're living in the UK and overseas, and what is the average year looking like for you?
It's so dependent and it changes. It's the most variable thing in the world for really? For any actor.
And do you love that, or do you get it,
there's
it done,
a there's a wee bit of an excitement to that and a kind of sense of it, like adventure, and it's fun. And we you know, we were in 5 months in Australia 2 years ago. Kids went to school there. They're still on FaceTime with their wee mates from Australia and stuff, and that's a cool thing, and that's an experience that a lot of kids don't get. But also there's a bit of, like, the older they get and the further they get into school and more importance and on exams and stuff, that we want to try to be sticking around a bit more. So but I don't have a clue. There'll be stuff I'll be doing in 2 years that hasn't been written yet, and yeah, it could be set in, you know, Tonga. I don't know, and I can't, we have to go somewhere that's like for like. So it's all very much unknown, and that, yeah, that's exciting. But I have definitely last year or two been trying a little bit more to try to stay here.
I was just thinking, Jamie could play you if he did a movie of Good Bad Rugby, which will probably happen one day.
Yeah.
He can play you. Ross Kemp can play Tins, no, and Chris
Jason Statham.
Mate, right? No way, bro.
Jason Statham?
What, you have to bulk up, Jeeve? No, Ross Kemp. You can play that. I mean, and I'll take Chris Hemsworth.
Of course.
It's obvious. Listen, Ross, calm down.
You always hear about Vinnie Jones, who's got his kind of Hollywood football club. Is there a similar equivalent in the rugby world? If you're in Hollywood filming, would you ring up Jared Butler and say, do you want to watch the game this weekend? Or is it just not really cut through like that?
Does anybody in Hollywood... Well, it's a harder thing to organise on a Tuesday night, you know, unless you're playing touch. It's not really... Football's so easy to go and do that. First couple of times I went to LA, I ended up at Robbie Williams's house playing like five-a-side and stuff. It was kind of mad. So there's loads of that going on with football, soccer, but rugby not so much. I don't know. Javier Bardem?
He played for Spain. Is that the story?
I'd heard he would back row for Spain, but did he actually?
He's a big unit.
He's a big lad. Yeah. But I've never met him, and we were literally this close to each other at an awards thing last year, and all I wanted to do was talk to him about rugby, and I was like, I never brought up the courage to do it, and I never really got my moment. So
would you dial up anyone and say, do you want to watch the Lions this weekend or the Calcutta Cup or whatever it might be, or is it just doesn't cut through?
Wee bit. I mean, you mostly find your people, so I'd find Irish people in LA, like Niall Horan.
How'd you find them? What, just the drunk ones?
Yeah, just walking around dazed. Niall Horan is we used to have a place in LA, we sold it just pre-pandemic, and Niall and I were kind of 2 minutes apart up there up on the hills in Hollywood. And so I'd go around to his and watch the first time we beat New Zealand, Stockdale's little chip over the top. And I was with Niall for that, and a couple other Irish lads who are out in LA. So you find people.
Can we very quickly pick a Hollywood 15 from those that you've been around, et cetera. Who would you start? I've gone Arnie at Loosehead. Who else would you throw
in? Frightening prospect, isn't it? Arnie at Loosehead.
Arnie back row.
I'd have him at six.
I originally put him at eight. The Rock, off the bat, on the running man.
No, you'd have Ray Winston as...
But then I'd
do like that.
Ray Winston as hooker.
I've got Danny DeVito as hooker.
Sorry, Ray Winston and Danny DeVito.
We need some
John Goodman. John, great shout. John Goodman, tight head.
Yeah, Tom needs to write this down. Yes. So we've got Ray Winston, John Goodman.
And Danny DeVito.
DeVito on a hooker?
No, in the middle, hooker.
I'm with The Rock.
No, so Rock's a seven. Yeah,
he's back row.
But there are other people out there that you could put in the back row.
No.
Hey, you just hang on.
Let's see how far we got.
No, he's not.
He is. He's just not 6'5".
Well, then he's 6'5". You can't have a 6'5" front row, can
you? Can we actually try and move this forward rather than just squabble?
Yeah, on the back. Front row's the least exciting part to talk about.
Yeah. Well, you say that. Yeah. I can't believe we've left that
Richard Keel in the second row. God rest his soul.
I've got Richard Keel.
I went Dolph Lundgren and Samuel L. Jackson.
Dolph Lundgren.
That's pretty good, actually.
If you go Richard Keel as like just the enforcer.
Yeah, Jaws.
And then Tim Robbins, he's 6'5". thinking man. You need a line.
I'm not sure he's a rugby player.
In what film has Tim Robbins thought?
Gone for a thing.
What about purely height based selection?
Dolph Lundgren would be a great shout.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think that's a strong.
Stallone, Arnold, and The Rock at back row.
Jesus. I went Jason Momoa, Matt Damon, Liam Neeson at 8.
Matt Damon's not going just for.
I went Chris Hemsworth.
Matt Damon
got a particular set of skills.
Yeah, he's played.
Liam Neeson will be set. I put centre Liam Neeson and who did you say the other one in the back row was?
I went Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. Yeah, no,
that would be unbelievable.
Jason Momoa.
Unstoppable from 5 yards out.
Yeah, but Jason Momoa and Liam Neeson centres.
What Kiwi vintage center. Of Liam Neeson is this? This is going way back, clearly. He's an old man.
Richard Kiel's dead, so I mean, let's not fucking define it, James.
We're not playing a match.
He's not
lining up against a bad match.
Where can I watch it? I've got the wine. I've sent the kids home.
VPN sort of
thing. Yeah, VPN. I'm really excited. Can we bring, let's do merchandise for an after party? No, Jamie, it's a fictional thing for this crap pod.
I went Tom Cruise at 9.
Tom, great shout.
I put Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh,
just maybe.
I think you say Kevin Spacey.
Yappy.
Like Faf de Klerk.
Yeah. But find Kevin Hart and then who you put?
Tim, I'm
Tom Cruise.
I put you in. You've been subbed out to the wing.
Sorry. You're 23, I think.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm delighted to be
Jamie
Dornan. At 10?
Jamie Dornan, when he's not here, Tom Cruise.
I put Johnny Depp at 10.
I went Bradley Cooper.
That would be an interesting. Some interesting calls.
I said complain.
As long as you played it like Jack Sparrow.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so we're putting Jamie at 10. Cruise at 9, Jamie at 10.
Yeah.
Let's have the centre combination.
Do we have Tom Hardy in there?
I've got Tom Hardy at 12.
I'd put him at 12.
I had Hemsworth as a ball carrying 12.
Hemsworth's at 13.
Idris Elba with an outside break. Idris Elba with an outside break from 13.
No, wing, he's a wing.
Don't argue.
Okay. I'd say Idris Elba would be a decent player.
Yeah.
Big lad.
Okay, so you're at 10. Yeah. Centre combination.
Delighted to
Hemsworth, Elba.
When are we playing
Momoa? Delighted
to be playing.
You've got Momoa? Tom Hardy playing the Bundyaki role.
Yeah, how good has Bundyaki been?
Oh my God, Jesus
Christ.
He's been on fire.
Oh my God.
They were talking about
every game.
Henshaw and Ringrose.
We're back to work up. Sorry, yeah.
That's a great shout, actually. Who? The tournament. Well, you pick it. I've gone Hemsworth and Elba with an outside break.
But I thought Momoa and Hardy.
I'm not sure Hardy's got.
Who've you got the wings?
Well, I had you, but you've now put yourself back into 10.
Yeah.
I had Henry Cavill at 14, Superman.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's got gas at all. Too chunky. He's too heavy.
Yeah, but I like that. He's a sort of like a Joshua Tursova.
He's a Duan.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I had Chris Evans at fullback.
I went Daniel Craig at fullback, sort of like flowy hair.
Too many Americans who can't play rugby in there.
Mm. Oh, right, okay.
Well, pick your team there. It's not a real team.
Go on, you're
missing the point.
Go on, you've got to pick it then.
And it's acting. Everything's
made
up.
If you're
it's not real.
If you're going to be 10, pick your back line.
Who do you want outside
on,
you?
Then, you make it.
Who's running short lines at 12?
I think Ryan Gosling, probably. I know he's American. Oh, he's Canadian. Sorry, Canadian. He could probably play a bit.
Okay.
He's a very sexy man.
Where are you sticking him? What shirt number?
Right beside me.
It's a very good looking back line at this point. Who else did you throw out there? Tom Hardy at 12?
I think Tom Hardy at 12. And then I tried
Anthony Mackie. Do you know Anthony Mackie? He's the current Captain America.
Okay.
Oh. I did a movie with him, great lad. He is strong, very strong.
Right.
I'd put him 13 maybe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Two wings and a fullback.
Who's fast?
Not Cavill.
That's why I put Cruise on the wing because he's fast.
He never stops running.
Yeah. Never stops. He has to run in every
runs
move.
Runs all day.
Do we not think Daniel Craig gets a call out somewhere?
Daniel Craig could play a bit. Yeah. So you throw it around a bit. Where do you have him? 15?
I had him at 15.
He likes rugby as well. He would.
He does.
I gave him a shirt once and I think he just threw it in the bin and then didn't give him a shirt and he kept it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, thanks for that. Just put it in a plastic bag and left someone help and I just watched him leave it. I was like, I'll just probably fuck myself over here, Daniel.
Were you wearing 6 or 7 at that point?
I think I was wearing 19. That's why I gave it away. I was like, fucking jog on, Craig. You can have that, pal. He's all over Dylan, but no, sadly, not me.
All right. Any more? Tins? Final? What's your back three?
My back three was Tom Cruise, Jamie Dornan, and Chris Evans.
Okay. What about Jason Statham?
Statham?
Yeah.
Quite
Statham was at 13 because he looks like me.
Yeah, that's very good.
We Tom Holland. Spider-Man, he'd be fast.
Shit. He'd be scrum half, and he's actually
quite zippy.
Did he do gymnastics before? Because he does stunts and backflip stuff.
And he did
he's got skills, though. He's got skills.
Ryan Gosling did dancing. Was it Ryan Gosling?
They all danced.
Can you dance?
No, can I fuck? No.
Have you? Is there anything you've learned for a movie role that's like you stuck with you? You know, like because they train you up to do stuff. Do you ever like learn to? So anything you've actually beneficial?
I'm so allergic to horses. It's really bad, yeah.
So you can't do horse
No,
rolls.
I've done it in loads of films, but I'm heavily medicated.
Is that right?
I'm honestly like this.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I'm really allergic. Yeah. But I used to be around a year at Gaff, and I'd be like really suffering. Just the dog's horse. I'm very allergic to person, sadly.
Yeah. Well, so God, God shafted you on something, is he? Because he's fucking giving you everything else.
You don't want a puppy right now.
No.
It's good when you find out he's allergic to oxygen and air, can't go outside, but he looks beautiful.
No, a wee bit. If I hug him too much, I get hives and stuff in my arm.
Tins.
But I love him.
Yeah, I get that as well.
We won't be surprised to know that debate raged on further, is still raging. So in the interest of time and to try and draw this to a close, here is the Hollywood 15 that I have taken the executive decision to announce. Congratulations to those chosen. Good luck for the games to come. In at Loosehead is Ray Winston, an absolute solid rock up front. Danny DeVito, curiously gets the nod at two, with John Goodman locking things out up front at tight head. Very impressed with the second row combination of Richard Keel, the enforcer, and Dolph Lundgren, athletic around the park. And definitely getting good height, jumping at four. Back row, I'm very pleased with Jason Momoa, Matt Damon, Liam Neeson, who's got a particular set of skills to offer from number eight. Kevin Hart somehow has been given the nod over Tom Cruise at nine. That is going to cause some contentious decisions amongst the selectors. Jamie Dornan has selected himself at 10. Again, one or two big question marks over the significant game temperament, but hopefully he can hold things together long enough to get the job done. In at 11, a late shout for Ryan Gosling, who comes in having passed a late fitness test. I think there's a lot of potential at 12 with Chris Hemsworth running straight strong lines and Anthony Mackie, perhaps the unknown entity at 13. Idris Elba, who was going to be our person for the outside break, has been shunted out to 14. And it's Daniel Craig, smooth, classy, and very dangerous at 15. That is our Hollywood 15. Feel free to disagree. Feel free not to care too much. Feel free to suggest your own late entries to what is a pretty strong looking outfit. It's going to be an emotional next 6 weeks for you. Jesus, we've already deduced that. How far are your boys in green going to get?
Well, a few wines in me on Saturday night, and I booked flights for the 28th of October to Paris, thinking I should have that just in case we go the whole way. It's tough, isn't it? Like that, we're all saying that that's potentially the final, you know, Ireland, South Africa. What it's good about, you know, Jesus, got to beat Scotland in a couple of weeks, which is no easy feat, but what's good about, there's a very different fear level meeting the All Blacks now in the quarterfinal to any other year since 1987, since the inception of this tournament. I wouldn't say it's by any way a guarantee, but I would feel confident about Ireland beating the All Blacks now in a quarterfinal.
Do you believe, and we asked this of Shane Horgan the other day, dare you dream of what Dublin and Belfast and Limerick will be like if on the 28th of October, there you are, you see.
Okay.
Can there, particularly with what we saw at the Stade, can you believe and imagine what it will be like if it happens?
It'd be hard to fathom. It would be an unbelievable thing for the island of Ireland and for rugby. And you think back to how crap we were, particularly in the 90s. And that's, you know, I went to Lansdowne Road for the first time in 93. It was just a bleak... It was an amazing experience. I remember just all it was Ireland, France. They beat us. That when Niall Malone, who went to my school, scored a couple of penalties. I think that's all we got out of it. But it's just that was ignited in me, like this passion for rugby. I'd obviously been playing it already at that level, but like going to a Six Nations game and seeing all these people in like berets and stuff walking about Dublin, and I was just like, you know, if you're not into that, I don't, something wrong with you. And so the idea of getting that far would be an incredible thing. Now, you'd be a bit torn of whether you want to be in Paris for it, or do you actually want to be in the streets of Dublin or Belfast or Cork or Limerick or anywhere.
You should come out anyway.
I'm going to try. Look, listen, I booked my flight.
We should just come. We booked him. Just come anyway. We'll have a big tear up anyway. We'll just have a nice dinner.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, fine.
Perfect. Fine. A bit of rosé.
Look, we're not going to have a better chance.
I'm not going to cry all weekend. I'm not
No, I might be. Yeah, exactly. I would be.
You have to hold it together.
Sobbing on my shoulder. Is that Jay Salica? Jamie Dornan be like, please leave him alone yet. No, I'm really sorry. He's overawed. Why is he wearing full kit? I don't know. I don't know. He's got boots on as well. I don't know.
He's got 10 on just against Johnny.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be a magical thing if we get there, but that's three big games to win before you get there.
It's been really nice to have you on. and to unlock your love of rugby, which is essentially
why unlock it. It's poured out.
Yeah, exactly.
We asked one question.
Was it tricky?
Yeah,
was
it? It wasn't. But it's nice that you know that is the reason for having you on. It's been a real treat.
Thank you
so much. Go and be dad of the year.
Yeah. Thanks, school running session.
Jamie,
thanks.
Obviously, good luck.
Remember Elva.
Oh, just before we go, Tins, everyone that comes on gets.
Because obviously we've launched this, and I know you love the game.
Yes.
There you go. Black Eye. Every time you drink it, you are supporting the players, creating a fund that will go directly to those players.
It's empty.
We don't actually give real product away.
We're not made of money, bro.
Great the train carrying this with me.
Yeah, yeah.
School pickup. As long as you don't drink, you'll be sick on the floor. You'll be absolutely fine.
Audition somewhere online.
Hopefully you've toughened up since those days.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's very good. Thanks for having me.
Jin's great for singing and for future roles as well, so just wheel that out.
I've been around him singing and dancing all sorts over the years. So
honest mic.
I know it well.
Good on you. Thank you for coming on.
Cheers, lads. Thank you. Thanks a minute.
Okay, let's move on with a message brought to you by our friends at American Express. As a small business owner, we know you're always trying to manage work with some much-needed downtime. Amex understand that getting this balance can be difficult. So we want to tell you about the American Express business cards and how you can earn points on your business transactions and then use the points on doing more of the things that you enjoy. Take your standard office spend on laptops, online ads or supplies and get points on these transactions and use those points to help you switch off and recharge. Perhaps you're like Tins and you want a brand new set of golf clubs. Maybe you're like Hask and you need to purchase a new set of headphones for your upcoming trip to Ibiza. Or you could use them to book that once-in-a-lifetime trip that you have been waiting for. For more information, search Amex Business Card. Terms and annual fees apply. 18 plus, subject to status. Quick final word. And amazing given how much we track and follow and ride the ride that is English rugby. But England-Chile, 71-0. I don't think people will necessarily get too up in arms about the scoreline, but what about what you saw?
Appalling first 20 minutes, I'll be honest with you. It looked like everything that they've been for the last since 2019. Tried to put balls in behind that weren't there. They were playing like they were playing against, no disrespect to Chile, but a tier one team, All Blacks. It was really sterile, stuck in structure. And then after that sort of 25 minutes, they sort of got into high tempo, speed of ball, and it looked like they finally realised, actually, we don't need structure all the time. We can play up across the front. We can play however we want to play, and then we can just get it to edges and we can cause problems. And then it was good to watch. You know, 71 points in 55 minutes of rugby is good scoring against anyone. And they looked better. I think, you know, Marcus Smith at 15 looks a genuine option. And I would, you know, I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I'd love to see him play against Samoa. Obviously, Marcus had a lot of space against Chile. I'd like to see if he could then take the next step up, which is Samoa, and do it again. And then, because then he becomes a genuine option. If we were playing South Africa, I wouldn't pick Marcus Smith. I would pick Freddie Stewart because you'd pick your best guys who are going to defuse bombs. Whereas when you've got space and when you've got, he is electric. There is no doubt. And he's looked way sharper in the appearances that he's had at fullback than he has ever done at 10, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I would quite like him to have an opportunity to step up the level and see if he can still do it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he's so fast. That little chip over and how much he just gasses around people. He's exciting to watch. If he's not going to fit into the 10 role, because it has to be, and I understand he's not as controlling as what George Ford is or what Owen is. So if he's not going to sit there, I would quite like, I think he's still knocking on that door that you've got to use him in some way. He might be on the bench and he comes off on, but he covers your 10 and your fullback, and then it gives you other options around what you do with your bench.
Any change to that?
No, I thought
Willis played well.
Courtney has to start at 6.
Courtney has to start at 6.
What's your 8?
I think Ben Hill has to play. Ben Hill has to play 8.
Yeah. Okay.
And then,
so you've got Curry, Willis, Ludlam.
I mean, it's a good problem to have. I would say I possibly would go Willis because, you know, Curry hasn't played a lot of rugby. Then he's been banned. When you've got
Jack Willis,
who played very well and has played well in other games, it just then becomes about balance.
Are England progressing, in your view? Are they progressing quickly, a bit, muddling about?
So I think they are progressing. Everyone's had an opportunity to see what they're doing, and I think as Mike said, it was definitely a better game rugby to watch. I felt much more positive about it because they played a brand that we can get behind. You know, I don't think the, you know, Ireland South Africa, for example, was it the most creative game in the world. No, there were flashes of some mega moments from both South Africa. You know, for a team that likes to truck out of the middle, they went wide a lot. They tried to run it. You know, Ireland with their loop plays and their different tactical plays, but it was still very direct and physical. Mm. And I just think England, if they can get out the kicking the ball away, which is the most frustrating thing because the ball's a commodity, and I know they're a stat-based operation, but I think just to keep the fans on board and keep interest, just fucking play.
I think that stat sort of base game that England have been delivering for a long time is being falling apart in this World Cup. You look at the fact that some of the Tier 2 nations are holding the ball for 14, 15 phases. I think, you know, the idea of, you know, statistically, if you hold the ball for five phases, you're going to give a penalty away. Well, that's your job to not do that.
And also, he's right, the money ball kind of philosophy, way of doing things. You know, the South Africa Ireland game, 32 kicks, which was less than had been any other game of the tournament, or way less than they usually both do. You know, ball in play time was less than it's been in some of the other games. I just think you've got to play what's in front of you. And as Mike said, you know, you want to play a brand where you're all on board with it, but I just don't think doing things because you think you should do them is the answer. Yeah. And I actually don't think it suits this England team. I don't think we look like a team that can do that.
You play rugby that suits the players that are on there. If you play Marcus Smith at fullback, you've got to give him opportunities to run.
And you've got forwards that can handle ball that need to be direct. We're supposed to be physical, you know. We need to be beating people up in defence and running over the top of people. You know, I think looking at South Africa, you know, 51% of their carries was collision dominance over the gain line. You know, and then they got, I think it was 14 dominant hits.
You've been chewing some stats this week.
Well, because you actually watched the game.
I'm an informed man. I like
so
to underplay
good when
it.
You put your effort and mind to it. Just before we round this up then, let's finish with our High Flyer of the Week segment brought to you by our good friends at British Airways and obviously a proud supporter of England rugby. Which England player flew highest against Chile?
It would be easy to jump straight on Arundel. Five tries. I think Marcus Smith was the high flyer of the week. I think, 180 metres, 15 carries, four line breaks, four defenders beaten.
I think he should have had another try as well. You remember he actually goosed around that guy that was outside and then still passed it?
Yeah. We could have two, actually, because the early one he threaded through for Arundel, I think he'd done his man on the inside as well. Thank you very much to British Airways, who've brought original people, places and cultures together for more than 100 years. And well done to Marcus Smith, who is our BA High Flyer of the Week. Quick word on Scotland. Is there anything in Finn's fun factory that is going to trouble the Irish at this stage?
I just think there's little errors in Scotland at the moment, but they will give, I don't think, Ireland is a green machine at the moment. It is running, it's so smooth, it's cooking on gas at the moment. And do I think that Scotland have the team to cause an upset? Yes, but they need to be at their best, and I don't think we've seen them at their best yet.
Okay. Well done, chaps. Some good rugby chat in there. Onwards.
I think How good is it, though?
The tournament.
So excited.
I know.
I mean, it was so good.
It was the zombie moment for me at the end of that Ireland-South Africa game. Was just like, and actually we were talking about something this week. There are big days in sport which are very special. There is something unique about the very best days in rugby union. You don't necessarily get that kind of electric, intoxicating, I've just watched a gladiatorial battle in golf or cricket. You get amazing days. Ben Stokes hitting the winning runs, chasing down whatever it was, 169. It's just not quite the same as when two tribes go to war.
No, I mean, I was so excited, but I actually...
actually put a message in the WhatsApp group.
You were actually messaging as the game was on.
I love rugby. And I watched
it
on the go.
The Matrix is broken.
I watched it on the go as well, because I was DJing for Asahi at the Moor, the Scoop, or whatever it was, by the Thames, which is really good fun, actually. It was good. Watched it live. And then went and watched it in the car, and I was desperate. I actually got that sensation, like, I can't miss this. I need to watch it, and I did.
Well done. But that was a gladiatorial game. You talk about everything that is the sport. That is what everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
And that is what the sport is. So we need to stop trying to cancel that and actually accept that is what it is and deal with everything off the side of it.
Yeah.
You know, this on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, so as this pod comes out, you can watch us going into prisons this week and Grand Slammers. See us coaching prisoners and trying to change their lives.
Yeah.
Teaching them to smash
the crew?
People legally.
Who's in the crew?
Group is myself, Jono, Lol, Matt Dawson, Johnny Wilkinson.
Greenwood, Ben Cohen.
Greenwood, Ben
Robinson. You said Robinson.
And Jason Robinson.
Wow. Without any spoilers, moving. Emotional, exciting.
I hope so. It was emotional and moving for us, from where it started to where it finished.
Yeah.
So, and how much they came together as a group that didn't know each other, never really, they'd never met, so they're all off different wings in the prison, and how they were as a team at the end of it.
Well, yeah, they're proper crims as well. Were they like anyone done for murder in there, or they're like soft ones, like petty theft? A
couple of fraudulent paintings.
Yeah, like blue collar fraud, whatever it is, yeah.
You should actually be in the Tower of London after your antics on our royal pod, and the thievery and burglary of the Ming vases.
Attempted.
Wow. Well done, chaps. Thank you very much to Jamie Dornan for coming in this week as well. I hope you're enjoying the tournament. Feedback, thoughts, views, always welcome. We have been The Good, The Bad and The Rugby in partnership with our very good friends at Continental Tires. As always this week, The Good, The Bad and The Rugby is a Folding Pocket production. And this episode was produced by Tom Edwards. Look after yourself. Enjoy the rugby. See you again soon.
You've been listening to The Good, Yay, The Bad, and The Rugby, Oof, with Alex Payne, James Haskell and Mike Tindall. Thanks for listening.
Ross Kemp can play tins.